It is Independence Day in Ukraine. And if you are in downtown Chicago, you probably have noticed there are 152 flags lining downtown Chicago. It's a mile-long installation on State Street, and it's made possible by the Auditorium Theater, the Chicago Loop Alliance, Kiev City Ballet. That dance company hasn't been in Ukraine since the Russian invasion. Somebody who has very close ties is somebody who joined us on the air just days after the invasion, and that is Pavlo Bandrisky, the vice president of Ukrainian Congress Committee of America. This should be a day of celebration for you and your fellow countrymen, but there's a lot of fear and trepidation and terrible things happening, isn't there?
Slava Ukraine, Lisa. Glad to be back on the air with you. We, of course, still continue to have the problem with the Russian aggressors invading Ukraine and a lot of horrible things happening out there. But today is Ukrainian Independence Day. You know, today marks the 35th anniversary of the renewal, 31st anniversary, I should say, of the renewal of Ukraine's independence. And this is when they broke free from the Soviet Union. So a lot of celebration going on. You know, it's a much more solemn recognition this year than it has been in years past. Normally, we're very joyous and do a number of different dances and events and so forth. But today we had a flag raising ceremony, and we had some of our talented Ukrainian performers down in Daily Plaza. And we were accompanied by the Ukrainian American Veterans Post 32 for an official flag raising of the Ukrainian flag in the heart of Chicago.
And here in Chicago, Pavlo, we have a lot of Ukrainian children who are headed back to school who have been displaced. And I can't imagine the anxiety and trepidation that they feel going into, you know, a school and living in a community that they've never even visited. Can you speak to what is happening with them?
Well, I can. We have hundreds of kids who have escaped the horrific bombing situation in Ukraine, and they came here with their moms. Many of them are living in the city, and about 100 or so are actually going to St. Nicholas Ukrainian School, where they started an immersive English class, English language class for the kids, back in the start of summer, so that they would be able to hit the books and start learning the lessons and not skip a beat on their education. So not only are they in different environmental circumstances, but they've got to continue their studies in a totally different language that they may not have been prepared for. And I know that many of the suburban communities also have been absorbing Ukrainian students as well. So it's been a big challenge for them, and we're going to continue to provide English as a second language classes, both for the kids and for their parents, so that they can help navigate life while they're here in the United States.
Pavlo Bandrisky is the vice president of Ukrainian Congress Committee of America. The first time we talked to you, you were in a diner. I feel like I hear somebody slinging dishes again. Is that your office? Is that where we're talking to you from?
Well, you're talking to me from the kitchen of the Chocolat restaurant. When you're in a Ukrainian village and you want a great meal and a wonderful dessert, Chocolat is the best place you could possibly go to. So let all your listeners know. Come on down. It's right on Chicago Avenue, and you will not be disappointed. And their borscht is excellent as well, so you can't go wrong.
So traditionally on Ukrainian Independence Day, what would you cook for dinner? What would you have?
Well, we normally start with a beet soup that we call borscht. We would have our vareniki, which many people know as pierogies. And then we would have some meat dish. You know, we might have some beef or pork or chicken or a fully veggie thing. You know, my daughters have gone the veggie route, and they come up with some very interesting culinary things with mom. So we always have the main dishes, and then supplement it with a few things on the side.
Pavlo, there's a headline today that reads, "This is how you get to a second Chernobyl or a third world war. Artillery shells are falling all around the Ukrainian nuclear plant, increasing the risk of an environmental catastrophe." What do you hear from your home country about that?
We're very concerned about that. We're very concerned. And in fact, the Ukrainian government has appealed to the United Nations and to the International Nuclear Regulatory Agency to have the area around the atomic energy plant, which is the largest in Europe, to be declared a fire-free zone, to have the Russian soldiers removed from the territory and allow the Ukrainian engineers to continue to operate that nuclear plant safely. There's a significant amount of electricity that's generated out of there. And unfortunately, Russians have been trying to disconnect that from the Ukrainian power grid and kick it over to the Russian power grid. But that is a very, very dangerous exercise because the production has to be shut down and then it has to be operated by diesel generators to keep it cool until a switchover is happening. It's just too much a margin for error, and horrific catastrophic results can happen. So we want to appeal to the international community to put pressure on Moscow to declare that area a fire-free zone and stop the Russians from shelling and move their troops out of there so we don't have a catastrophe on the likes of Chernobyl or considerably worse.
Pavlo Bandrisky, Vice President of Ukrainian Congress Committee of America. How would you salute your fellow countrymen on Ukrainian Independence Day? What is the slogan? What would you say?
We would say Slava Ukraini, and our folks would say Heroyam Slava. Slava Ukraini is glory to Ukraine, and Heroyam Slava is glory to her heroes. So Slava Ukraini.
Thank you very much. Have a beautiful day, Pavlo.
Thank you so much. All the best to you and all of your listeners.
The news coming up with Lauren Lapka from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is next on 720 WGN.